all about time in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. He thought it was a map of Masjid al-Zura, his valley at King Abdullah III International Airport in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And he's also a member of the Jeddah Dawah Center as well. So we'd like to welcome the Sheikh to the program at this time. And after we welcome him to the program, he will begin his talk about the history of the Arabs before Islam. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh Muhammad.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Hayyakum Allah ya Ahmed.
Now, so at this time, the Sheikh will begin talk about the history of the Arabs before Islam. And we hope everyone listening attentively and benefit. And if you have any questions, we'll try to entertain if we have time. So, Sheikh, I think we can talk at this time.
Now, we'll begin with what is better to begin with, which is praising or raising the praise to Allah Ta'ala, the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do it, with what is known by Khutbatul Haja, Inna Alhamdulillah, Nahmaduhu, Wa Nasta'inuhu, Wa Nasta'ghfiruh, Wa Na'udhu Billahi, من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله الذي يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد حياكم الله, dear brothers and sisters, with this to link with the most beloved brothers in America and in the whole world who are listening to us right now. In this topic, very sensitive topic and very important topic, that is as titled and as just been announced, it is the Arab history before Islam, and I would like to add, and after Islam, in order to show the difference between the Arabs before Islam and after Islam, and how Islam worked positively to maintain the goodness that the Arabs used to have, perfected and beautified and complete the short that may occur in there, and how Islam came to elevate the Arabs from being small tribes scattered around this desert here in the Arabian Peninsula, having no law to rule them up to the times where they got the best law ever, known on this earth. And to begin that, let's first of all give you some information about the Arabs. First, the Arabs are three types. One is called Al-Arab Al-Ba'idah. Al-Arab Al-Ba'idah, the extinct Arabs. And these are the old, old Arabs, like the people of Ad, the people of Thamud, and the like. And then we have the Al-Arab Al-Aribah. Al-Arab Al-Aribah. And these are the Arabs who has no mixed with non-Arabs in the types or qualities of lineage, meaning they did not marry from the non-Arabs, neither the non-Arabs married from them. So they remained as pure Arabs, and these are called the Qahtaniyun, who refers back to Qahtan, one of the sons or the grandsons of Nuh alayhi salam. And then we have Al-Arab Al-Musta'ribah, Al-Adnaniyun, who refers back to Adnan. And these are the ones who left Yemen after the Dam of Marib has been demolished by the will of Allah. So they scattered all around the Arabian Peninsula and they came to Mecca, to the land of Faran, and there they get mixed with Ismail married from them, and from there they got the Arab Musta'ribah, meaning the Arab who are not pure Arab, because Ismail was not from the Arab. Ismail was the son of Ibrahim. Neither Ismail nor Ibrahim were from the Arabs. They were from Al-Kandaliyin, the people of Iraq. That is in general. Their lands is known, well known in the past and in this time. The land of the Arabs is known in the past as in Yemen, and mainly the Arabs were in Yemen. And when the Dam of Marib was demolished and near about year 570 before the birth of Isa alayhi salam, which made the Arabs to leave some parts of Yemen and search other land where they can settle, until they came to Mecca and found a place for them to stay. And we have Arabs who lived and settled in Sham, and later on some moved to Iraq, and some of them after Islam they went to Africa and some part of Europe like Spain and Andalus and the like, and also some went far to the far east like China and the nearby countries, India and the like. As we know that the Arab language is the Arabic, but what people do not know is that there are different accents of Arabic around the world, and these accents are original Arabic accents, and some of these accents have been forgotten already totally, except the accent of Quraysh, in which Allah Ta'ala preserved by descending the Quran which everyone recites today. We are going to talk about four main issues about or elements about the Arabs before and after Islam. The first one is the political situation or the political case there in the Arab lands before Islam and after Islam. The second is the social situation. The third is the economical situation. And the fourth is the religious situation. In regard to the political situation, the Arab, as their land was so wide and they are scattered on a big piece of land, they used to have their own laws that they rule their tribes with. And that means that every tribe used to have their own law. And they used to have very strange laws, the like of that if the father, for example, dies, then the eldest son will inherit his wife, which is not his mother. And he has the right to do whatever he wishes with that woman, meaning to let her marry the person that he is for her. So the political situation wasn't that good. They used to attack each others, capture each others, arrest from each others and take them as slaves. Like what happened to Zayd ibn Haritha, who was arrested as a child from the tribe of Tay by another tribe who sold him in Mecca as a slave. And then Khadija bint Khuwaylid, who became later on the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bought him for her benefit to use him to work for her in her business. And later on she gave him as a gift to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who gave him his freedom. But this was one of the political views at that time. So the Arabs before Islam were so weak to depend on others to defend them, like the Romans and the Persians. And they were giving their loyalty to the nearest big power by them. Like if they are nearby Asham, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon, they will give their loyalty to the Romans. And if they are nearby the if they are in the east of the Arabian Peninsula, like in the Gulf, the Arabian Gulf, they give their loyalty to the Persians. And the same in Yemen. But in the meantime they did not unite to make their own big country and their own power. And as a conclusion to that, we can say that the Arabs, politically, before Islam, politically, they were very weak. And we can say that they did do nothing in affecting the surrounding areas by their own towns or villages. That is about the political situation. The social situation, I've already given some examples, like the inheritance, like the slavery. Although the Arabs used to have good manners and characters, which were better than the Romans and Persians and others who were living at that time, such as bravery, such as boldness, such as generosity, kindness, good kinship relations, respect of others. But at the same time, they did used to have bad manners and characters. Like they did used to drink the khamr, alcoholic drinks, and they did not used to see any wrong in that, up to the limits that one of the famous poets of the Arabs, who is called Imra'ul Qais, whose his father was a king in Yemen, in Kinda, in South Yemen, one day he was sitting with one of his friends drinking khamr, when a man came to tell him that his father was killed. And because he was drunk, he said, اليوم خمر وغدا أمر. Today, khamr, drinking. And tomorrow, a different matter. So, the social relations that time, or the situation, the social situation, can be understood, and how weak they were, and how disputed from each other they were, to limits that they did not need any other power to dispute them and make enmity between them. You can know that from the wars that occurred between them, like that war called Dahis wal Ghabra, which was for about, some say 40 years and some say 100 years. And the like of what been reported in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم healed a man from Ansar and a man from Al-Muhajirin who were fighting, and the man from Ansar called his people saying, Ya Al-Ansar, O Ansar, come. And the Muhajiri said, Ya Al-Muhajirin, O Muhajirin, come. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to them, أبي دعوة الجاهلية وأنا بين ظهرانيكم. Are you using the call of jahiliyyah, the ignorance and arrogance while I'm still alive amongst you, دعوها فإنها منتنة. Leave it as it is. وافل. And there are a lot of incidents that exist to show how the Arabs were at that time. Although they were upon good, upon some other good manners and characters, as for example, they used to respect their neighbors, as what that did during the time of Jahiliyyah, arrogance. He said, وَأَغُضُّ طَرْفِي إِنْ بَدَتْ لِي جَارَتِي حَتَّى يُوَارِي جَارَتِي مَثْوَاهَا. I put down my glaze, I put my glaze down when my female neighbor appears up until she is in her house. But at the same time, they did not, yani, although they did not use to begin the fight or whatsoever evil is, but they used to say, for example, أَلَا لَا يَجْهَلًا أَحَدٌ عَلَيْنَا فَنَجْهَلَ فَوْقَ جَهْلِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Barely no one would show arrogance against us, so we show more arrogance than him. Meaning they do not forgive. And the revenge is out of time. And there are a lot of names who are known of revenge, like Kulayb and many others who are known that they spend their lives trying to revenge, and they killed many just for revenge. So socially this was small vision of what the Arab used to be upon. And in the economical situation, the Arab were so poor to limits as Abu Sufyan Ibn Harb said that we at the Jahiliyyah time used to be so poor to limits that we ate the beetle, the colibetron insects. And they did not used to have any natural sources of income. Their land is desert. Little water in there. So they have no any agriculture, but they use only to get business of selling animals like sheep, goats, and camels. They did not used to have cows, except for little. So the economical situation was so weak, and that's why Allah Ta'ala reminded them of that by Islam, as they used to go before Islam in two journeys, one in the summer to Al-Sham, Jordan, Syria and Lebanon, and one in the winter to Yemen, because in these two countries, or these two sides, two parts of the earth, there was a good economy and a good agriculture. However, in the Arabian Peninsula, which was like the heart of the Arabs, and still it's like the core, there were no enough food. And that's why they used to go to the Romans to give them a supply every year. And that's why Heraclius, when the Muslims came to him, he said to them, is the supply we give so little that make you to come to us here? But they said, no, we are here because Allah Ta'ala sent to us the Prophet of the last Prophet to the innovate, which we are going to talk about it inshallah in the next point. But generally the economical situation was so terrible for the Arabs that many of them, as we said, migrated from Yemen, their land, to Faran, which is Mecca today, and some to Iraq, and some to Sham, and some to Egypt. Now, and then we talk about the religious situation before Islam. And as we all know, that the Arabs mostly were pagans and idolaters. And they used to worship the moon, the sun, and the other gods they used to have, such as Allat wal-Uzza wa Manat and others. And by the time when Isa alayhi salam was sent, Some of them became Christians, like the Arabs in Najran, southwest of Saudi Arabia. And some of the north part of Saudi Arabia, like Ha'il, Jumat al-Jandal and the like. So they used to worship other than Allah. But the Arab al-Musta'riba, who are called the Adnaniyun, who came out of the mix with Ismail alayhi salam, as they are called in the Old Testament, the Torah, al-Ismailiyin, because they are the children of Ismail alayhi salam. And these people were up on the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the father of fathers, until a man called Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i was the head of Mecca, the Sharif of Mecca, and he went to Al-Sham for a business trip, and there he saw the people there worshipping idols in shape of, as they say, Jesus and Mary. About this, they said that this will benefit and protect. So he took some of them and brought them to Mecca and forced the people to worship him. So the people became idolaters since that time. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as in the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَنْ سَيَّبَ اسْتَوَائِبَ وَعَبَدَ الْأَصْنَامَ أَبُو خُزَاعَ عمر بن عامر ابن الحي. So he was the first one who brought the idols to the Arab in the Arabian Peninsula. And from the religious perspective, we can see how the Arabs were very ignorant. Because after what their father Ismail alayhi salam left them up on the Tawheed, they return back to worship other than Allah. So after being monotheists, they became Mushrikeen, idolaters. And they used to call the angels as daughters of Allah. And as Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 136, وَجَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ مِمَّا دَرَأَ مِنَ الْحَرْثِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ نَصِيبًا. And they gave a share of what Allah Ta'ala brought to them from the harvest and cattle. They gave him a share. But most of it got their gods that they worshipped, the idols. In general, the Arabs were in a great loss in the time before Islam, as you have just seen. They were scattered. Small tribes and groups fighting each other. Islam came to unify them in Medina, and then the rest of the Arabs in the Arabian Peninsula gathered with them to form one country, one government, and they became a power in the area. So everyone used to think very well before fighting against the Arabs at that time. And we all know how they conquered many lands, but Islam came to teach them that when they go for the jihad, they don't kill the old people, nor women, nor children, nor worshippers, priests and others, and not to destroy farms, and not to cut trees, and not to demolish churches and temples. And Islam minimized the way of slavery to be only through war against non-Muslims, and gave many ways of freeing, or many reasons to free slaves of Islam said if the husband do sexual intercourse with his wife in the month of Ramadan, in the daytime, while they are not travelers, while they are not breaking fast because of illness or traveling, then the man has to free a slave. And if the man said to his wife, you are to me like my mother, meaning as my mother is forbidden for me to enjoy sexually, you too, which we call it bihar, he cannot re-enjoy this woman, his wife, up until he frees a slave. And when a Muslim kills a human by mistake, he will first free a slave. So there are many ways in Islam to free slaves and to minimize that. but to gain slaves. It was only one way, which is to fight against the non-Muslims. And this even is not left like that. As for example, when the Yahud broke their obligations with the Prophet ﷺ, that they made obligation upon themselves not to cooperate with the enemies of Rasulullah ﷺ, but later on they did a hidden agreement with the idolaters against Rasulullah ﷺ. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sent Ali ibn Abi Talib, his cousin, as the leader of the army to fight them. But before he moves, he told him, move slowly, don't be so willing to go and kill. Move slowly. امضي على رسلك, meaning go but slowly, don't go fast. Why? This will let them hear about the coming army so they get their precaution and protection. And he told him, and once you are by their land, do not begin fighting up until all of them to accept Islam or to pay the jizya or to pay the jizya, the tripost. All this to minimize, all this to minimize killing, to minimize slavery. So Islam came to purify the manners and characters. And to stop the evil that is spreaded by the shaitan, by the devil, by the satan, between the human beings. And that's why Islam stopped and forbade drinking, because if the person drinks, he will not, first of all, worship his Lord. Second, if he worships, he does not get affected with this worship because his brain is not working well. And he may kill even his father or mother or wife or child when he is drunk. So Islam forbid that. And Islam forbid lying. Islam also forbid cheating, even with the non-Muslims, as well as lying is forbidden even with when dealing with non-Muslims. And encouraged for honesty and trust. And bravery and war against cowardness. And gave everyone his right. Gave the parents the right, the proper right that was lost before Islam, and which is lost today in other than Islam. Islam gave the right of neighbor, whether he is a relative, a Muslim, or a Muslim non-relative, or a person who is non-relative, non-Muslim. Everyone, Islam gave him the right. The parents, even if they are upon other religion, but not Islam, still Islam gave them the right and commanded the children to be grateful and dutiful to their parents. But not to obey them when they call them to worship other than Allah. However, if they command them with any other things of this world life affairs, Islam told them, you have to, as a child, you have to obey your parents, otherwise he is going to be punished. And gave the woman her right, which all the organizations until today and religions failed to do. They all failed to give the woman her right. The children, and for example, the woman, the Prophet said, أنا خيركم لخيركم لكم خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي. The best of you, O men, is the best to his family, and I'm the best one to my family amongst you all. So he's encouraging everyone to be good to his family. And in regard to the children, an Arab came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa whose name Al-Aqra ibn Habis, and found Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa kissing one of his grandsons or bulls. And he was very surprised and asked, do you kiss your children? I have 11 of them, I never kissed one of them. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to him, what can I do for you if Allah extracted the mercy from your heart, out of your heart? And when Bashir al-Ansari came to him, saying, Ya Rasulullah, my wife, one of my wives, which is the mother of An-Nu'man, asked me to give An-Nu'man something, a piece of land or something like that. And she said she does not accept until I take you as a witness. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked him, did you give the same to all of your children? And Bashir said, no. He then, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, okay, find another one to witness it as I never witnessed oppression and false. And then he said, oh people, be fair and just with your children. When you deal with your children, treat them all the same as you all want them to be, the same in gratefulness and dutifulness to you. And even with animals, even with the animals, when one day a bird came flying over him, moving its wings very strongly, he knew that it is complaining of something. And then he asked the companions, any of you taken the eggs of this bird? One of the Sahaba said, yes, I, Ya Rasulullah. He said, okay, return it back. Let it settle. And one day, a man who owns a camel passed by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when the camel cried. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the man, saying, do you make your camel work hard and you give him little rest and little food? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. I said, don't do that. And treat it well. And one day, they were on a journey, and a woman who had a camel that was difficult to drive, she cursed the camel. He said, where is this camel which is cursed? They said, this, Ya Rasulullah. He said, okay, release it. Release it. As we don't accompany a cursed camel. Meaning, if you curse it, you are not treating it very well. It is carrying you and your load. And instead of treating it very well and you turn to curse this camel, which helps you. And that is not from Islam. Even with the captives and the arrested people, when they fought against Bani Mustalib, the Yahud, one of the tribes of the Yahud, Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtab, she was the daughter of the head of the Yahud of that tribe, whose her father was killed in the battle, and her husband as well, and her uncle. So when they divided the shares, she came in a share of some of one of the companions. Then somebody told them that this woman is the daughter of a king, and she was the wife of one of the famous and strongest men of the Yahud. He then set up a deal with that man, as it's already in his share. He said, I give you a couple of female slaves for this one. So the man agreed. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Safiya, gave her the choice. If you want to go back to your people, we'll let you go now. But if you want to stay with us, I want to marry you. Look, he did not treat her as a slave, because she was the daughter of a king. So she said, when she saw this humbleness from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she said, no, I want to be with you and your wife. And when one day Aisha bint Abi Bakr, the one who is pure Arab, said or mocked Safiya, saying, she is short. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at her and told her, you have said a word that is very severed, that if it is mixed with the whole seas of the world, that make it so severed. And if we will speak about how Islam came to change the Arabs, and even the Arab nations who accepted Islam, we would spend a very long time to go through every individual detail. But I can guide you to some books of in which you can find a lot of this. And one of the most famous ones is Al-Bidaya wal-Nihaya for Ibn Kathir. And Al-Tariq Al-Kabir wal-Saghir for Imam Bukhari. And many other books which speak about the Arabs before and after Islam and how Islam came to make them one of the best nations ever known in the world, and the justice and the kindness and beautifying the characters and manners and treating the intentions and warning against hypocrisy, because this is a disease. Even today, even amongst the kuffar, they consider it a disease, because the hypocrite does not have any loyalty to nobody. And that's why even the kuffar, the non-Muslims today, they hate it, and they hate these people, hypocrites. That's why Islam came to warn against it, and dealt with the pure kuffar upon justice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about a Jew boy who was ill. So he went to visit him and found him dying. So he said to him, say a word, say la ilaha illallah, that benefits you. The boy kept looking to Rasulullah and turns back to look to his father. Couple of times until his father said to him, obey Abu al-Qasim. This is the kunya, the nickname of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the boy immediately said, la ilaha illallah, ashadu an la ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah. Why did the father say so, although he was still Jew? Because of what he saw of the kindness. And many, many other stories that we can tell you to show you how Islam came elevate the Arabs high above every other nations. But when they hold Islam, it's not because of their lineage, because they are Arabs. No, it is because the religion that Allah Ta'ala chosen for them, or not only for them, but it was chosen for them and it was made for all. And that's why Islam accepts anybody who wants to embrace it with no conditions. Not necessarily that your mother be Muslim, or your father be Muslim, or you not be a Jew, or you not be a fighter. Even those who fight, the Muslims, once they accept Islam, everything is gone. Everything is finished. They become
acquired. I'm afraid, inshallah ta'ala, we'd like to continue this program and have you back on the subject on a later date. So again, we thank Allah, first and foremost, for having given us a chance to have another program to call the people to Islam, and we thank you for coming on the program to talk about this very important subject.
إن شاء الله. جزاكم الله خير وبارك الله فيكم. عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
And you brothers and sisters in the room of Ilm for All, now, as I said, there are a lot of evidences and examples. You can look to the books like Zad al-Ma'ad, Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, Sirah al-Nabawiyya. All these books will show you how Islam came to change the Arabs to be very keen and very humble. May Allah Ta'ala make us amongst those whom, whenever they are given advice, they accept. Wallahu Ta'ala A'lamu, sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.